The Carlow Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
Thank you. Fancy jingle. This is the Carlow Soccer Podcast. I am Harry Shortos, so we better get talking some Carlow Soccer on this podcast. I'm going to be previewing the Paul Cowan Memorial Youth Cup final. Try saying that after you've had a few drinks. Coming up this weekend a little later on. And I'll be discussing the absolute madness that was Newark versus Park Villa in the LFA Junior Cup quarterfinals on Sunday. And playing some post-match reaction I got with the Newark manager Gavin Dowling. But there's only one place to start this week, and that is with the big talking point across Carlow Soccer this past week. Last week on the podcast, Kilree Celtic chairman Paul Gardner alluded to an incident which meant that Kilree may not get relegated. So I've heard a lot of rumours flying around over the past week. Everybody is talking about this. I've been stopped on the street and asked about it. It was a huge discussion at half-time in a CK United game I was at on Saturday evening. Everybody is talking about it, OK? So it's not a secret anymore. So I figured I would just get everything out in the open. I would discuss it here and discuss some of the findings I've had, because I have had calls with people to try and get as much information as I can to try and clarify everything. So let's start with the facts and what we know for sure. That is that Hanover fielded an ineligible player against Kilree last weekend. James McGrath had received two yellow cards in the previous week against Parkville and got sent off as a result, because obviously two yellow cards is a straight red. He then started against Kilree when he was supposed to be banned. I won't make any judgments on that right now anyway. let's look at the Carlow League rules here and see what they say about this. Rule 27 says that a caution, which is a yellow card, is a warning from the referee to a player during a match to sanction offences. Two cautions received during the match incur an expulsion and consequently an automatic suspension. A player suspended in the league cannot play any football until such time that the team he was playing with at the time of his suspension has played the required number of games. Rule 90 states when a player protested against has proved ineligible, the points or game must be awarded to the opposing club. Proving no ineligibility of a player of the opposing club has been shown. So let's break that down and see what that means. So basically it means that as long as Kilree had no one that they played in that was ineligible or was suspended that they played that shouldn't have been, they will get given the 3 points from that match, which means that they will stay up and not get relegated, which means Killeshin are bottom of the table. So now, what does that mean for relegation, you ask? That is a very, very good question. Everybody that I've talked to seems to think it's a done deal, that nobody will get relegated, that Burton will get promoted then to make a 10-team Premier Division, and that'll be it. You know, everyone seemed to think that the league aren't going to relegate Killeshin because they like the facilities in Killeshin. They don't want to have Killeshin relegated because of those facilities. I did talk to Brian O'Reilly, the Carlow League secretary, over the weekend, and I did get some clarification on this. He basically said to me, no decision has been made as of yet. So I don't know where all the rumours are coming from. I don't know why people seem to think it's a done deal, but from what Brian has told me, that there is no decision being made. The podcast has been recorded on Tuesday, so hopefully we'll have more news for you next week, because the disciplinary meeting is being held tonight because the league are a week behind. And I know Brian was hoping to release a statement after it. Either way, once we have clarification, hopefully by the end of the week, then we will, of course, bring it to you next week if we can. So basically nothing has been decided yet, folks, okay? The easiest thing to do probably is to not relegate anybody. Yes, it's a cop-out. No, it's nothing to do with the facilities, at least from my point of view. I think it makes more sense to not relegate anybody because it's the fairest thing in my opinion, because, like, if you look at it, Kalesian's fate would have been sealed by an off-the-field incident. And you don't want that. You know, if you're Kalesian, you have a point to argue. You have a case to say, well, this wasn't in our control. The two games were played at the same time for a reason, to make sure that no side had an advantage. So for them to be relegated because of off-the-field incidents, to me, would feel a little bit unfair. That's just my opinion now. But, of course, my opinion counts for nothing. I'm not on the Carlo League. I don't make these decisions. People who are much higher up than me make those decisions. I only tell you guys about these things and give you the facts of the situation. For me, the facilities shouldn't come into it. Okay, so now let's ask the question, why would Hanover play an ineligible player? Like, surely everybody knows at this point that two yellow cards is a red card, and that means you get an automatic one-match suspension. You would think that people would know that. You would think that, anyway. But you would think they know the rules. That is a very good question. Why would they play someone knowing that they are banned? There's been some debate that they did it deliberately to get Kalesian relegated. I mean, I think that's rubbish. I mean, if that's what's going on in the Carlo League, then that's not something I want to be part of. That would be very, very, very shady. So I would be very surprised if that was happening, but you never know. Maybe there was something there. Maybe there's beef between Hanover and Kalesian that I never knew about. I didn't think there was, but anyway, nothing to do with me. Those are just rumours, though. I did talk to the Hanover manager, Paul Dowling, yesterday, and just tried to clarify everything from his point of view. He basically said it was a genuine mix-up with the club. They thought James McGrath was suspended for the New Oak match in the weekend in the Cup, because that was their next... So their next match was going to be Kilrea in the league. It was their last league game, and then they had New Oak in the Carlo Cup, I think it is, this weekend coming up. And so they thought that he was okay to play in the Kilrea game and then suspended for the New Oak game. That's what he said to me. If he'd known that James McGrath was suspended, that he would have just brought a youth player instead, because he had some youth players that could have played but didn't. To be fair to Hanover, I do think it was probably just a mix-up. They did post a team photo online and he was in it, so, I mean, they weren't trying to hide anything. So, like, you're not, you know, if you're trying to hide something, if you're trying to do something shady, you're not going to post a team photo online, are you, really? You know, I know there was some debate that Hanover didn't actually use the FAI Connect app, which they usually do. I think someone told me that when you try to put in a player that's suspended, it will come up as suspended and you can't actually pick him on the FAI Connect app. But you're not going to post a team photo on Twitter if you're trying to hide something, if you're being shady. If you, you know, so I think it probably was a mix-up, genuinely. You do have to ask. Paul Dowling has been around a long time. Shouldn't he know these things by now? You would think he knows the rules, but then again, maybe he never had to deal with that. Maybe it was always dealt with by club secretaries and other people, and then it was just a mix-up internally in the club, possibly. I don't know. I'm not involved in Hanover. I don't know these things. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here and give a balanced side of things. Paul Dowling is a very experienced manager. He's obviously managed Oscar Trainer teams. You know, I don't think he's the type to try and do this deliberately. From what I know of Hanover, I don't think it would be done deliberately. So I think it genuinely was a mix-up. People are human. Everybody makes mistakes. Let's not be too harsh on him or the club. They are holding their hand up and admitting they made a mistake at the end of the day, and that takes a lot to do. So yeah, probably was just a genuine mistake. Now, I could be wrong and there is something else going on, but I can only go off what I've been told, you know. Something I noticed actually over the weekend and been meaning to bring up for a while is that at CK United games, you have to pay to watch the games if you are a supporter. I think it's a fiver or something in. These are academy games, obviously. And mostly the people that will attend are families of the players, mainly parents. So they're charging parents to go watch their kids play. Does any other League of Ireland club do that? I don't know. I'm intrigued. I get they're only doing this to raise funds for the club and pay referees and stuff, but there has to be other ways of doing this, right? I'm not criticising anybody, by the way. I'm not criticising the club. They do great work. I know it's difficult to make money in today's society. I'm just asking the question. But anyway, let's move on to the weekend's action, and in particular, the Newark versus Park Villa match in the LFA Junior Cup quarter-final. That had to be the craziest match that I have ever seen. That has to be the craziest match I've ever seen anyway. You know it's crazy when even Shane O'Keefe is shocked by what's going on. I was on live with him on Sunday, and when I told him what was going on, even he was like, "What?" So where do I even begin? Okay, Newark were 2-0 up at half-time and cruising by all accounts. Dean Kelly and Roy Byrne had put them ahead early, and they had pretty much been on top throughout. Park Villa were causing a few problems, had threatened a couple of times, but Craig Carney, who I'm giving my man of the match to for the game, was in great form in the goal. Roy Byrne was causing all sorts of issues for Park Villa, and it looked like Newark's game to lose. Midway through the second half, a Park Villa attempt went in on goal towards the top corner, and Owen Skinner McCormack handled the ball to stop it going into the back of the net, and in the process gave away a penalty and got himself sent off. Craig Carney actually saved the penalty, but Park Villa did get a goal back. Late on then, another Park Villa attempt was sent into the top corner, the other corner, after Craig Carney was found out of position. I don't know what he was doing, what he was thinking for this. They sent in an effort to the top corner. And again, it was handball, this time by the other centre-back, David Dotsie-O'Shea, the captain. And Newark were down to 9 men. And they gave away another penalty. This time, Carney wasn't so lucky, and Park Villa levelled. Somehow, against the odds, Newark scored with 8 minutes to go, with 9 men, as Lee Walker got on the score sheet before being sent off in the final minute due to a second yellow card offence. Now, Newark were down to 8 men at this point, and in stoppage time. And, of course, Park Villa levelled with a 3-man advantage. So it went to extra time, and Newark had to survive with 8 men for 20 minutes. And incredibly, somehow, they did just that and forced penalties. I was on the phone, actually, with Shane O'Keefe during the shootout on Scoreline. So let's listen back to the drama. It was 8-7 when the final Park Villa penalty was about... It was 8-7 to Newark when the final penalty for Park Villa was about to be taken. Let's listen to the absolute madness that was going on.
So now we're on the 8th penalty kick for... They're running out of players.
Have you boots with you, Harry, just in case?
I didn't bring them, unfortunately, Eddie. I should have thought.
Hey, let us know how this goes.
Foley hits it into about 8-7 currently to Newark.
8-7 for Newark currently. We're going to take a quick ad break. You're not going to miss a bit of it. Now we're heading back to that game. Harry, how's it going? Has the penalty been taken?
The penalty has been taken, and Craig Carney has saved the shake.
The hero!
By main man, you walk us through to a Leinster semi final. That is an incredible thing, Shane. I can't even begin to. It's incredible, Shane. I didn't think they would do it, but somehow they did it.
Newark won 8-7 in the end, with Carney once again making himself a hero in sudden death. After doing the exact same thing last season against Coletta Donnycarney in the LFA Senior Cup. Craig can be a bit hit and miss, I find, sometimes when it comes to penalties. He struggled in the Shield final, but he pulled it out of the bag yesterday, just like he did in the LFA Senior Cup last season against Coletta Donnycarney, which set up a tie with Bray. in the Burren Road, which was epic. And of course, we pulled it out the bag yesterday. After the match, I caught up with Newark manager Gavin Dowling. Gavin, can you sum up your emotions after that craziness?
I can't really, no. Look, I've tired seeing comebacks here in Newark, and it reminded me so much of the Freebooters game where we thought we were through. Full credit to the 8 lads that stayed on the pitch and battled hard for us, worked their arses off basically, and got us the penalties. And as you know, in penalties, anything can happen, and Craig came up trumps.
Yeah. Second Leinster semi-final in 3 years. You must be absolutely delighted.
Yeah, look, this team is knocking on the door for one of those big trophies, and they're well capable of doing it. But our discipline has to be better. Like, I'm a bit disappointed today with the discipline of the team, getting silly red cards, in fairness, and it's been happening across the board in local competition as well. So we need to rectify that if we're going to win anything. But I do think we're capable of winning a Leinster Junior.
There's a lot of big teams gone out of the Leinster Junior Cup. You must feel like this is your year.
There's a lot of big teams gone over, but you still only have to beat the team in front of you. And that's what I was telling the lads at the start. Even though Clonmullion are gone, the All Counties are gone, we still have to beat the Park Villa, and they would have been thinking the same thing. Like, so, every team is going to be hard at this stage of the competition. You don't get through six rounds of Leinster Junior if you're not a decent side.
Yeah, it must give you some kind of hope, though, that, you know, the likes of North End are gone, the likes of Gorey are gone. Like, Gavin, can you sum up your emotions after that crazy train?
We can't do it. We reminded me so much of the previous game where we thought we were through.
Had to improve, or else we'd go out with this competition.
Full credit to the 8 lads that stayed on the pitch and battled hard for us, worked their arses off.
We have all the footballers, we have all the penalties.
As you know,
we're not in any doubt the ability the team and the squad have.
Craig came up front, we just need to keep lads on the
field. Second lens, the semi final in 3 years.
Downfall.
Yeah,
look.
This
team is knocking on the door.
Exactly.
One of those big trophies, and but our discipline has to be better.
We're actually going to go on.
I'm a bit disappointed there with the discipline of the team, getting silly red cards, in fairness, and it's been happening across the board in
local competition as well.
Like, so we need to rectify that if we're going to win anything.
He's capable of that as well.
But I do think we're capable of winning.
I would have rather let
There's a lot of big teams gone out of the Leinster Junior Cup. You must feel like this is your moment.
There's a lot of big teams gone over, but you still only have to beat the team in front of you. And that's what I was telling the lads at the start. Even though Clonmullion are gone, the All Counties are gone.
Obviously, a second
have to beat Park Villa, and they would have been thinking the same thing. Everything's going to be hard at this stage. You don't get through six rounds of Leinster Junior if you're not decent
side.
It must give you some kind of hope, though, that the likes of North End are gone, the likes of Gorey
are not doing the work for us.
Whereas now,
even with lads off the field,
give me a lot of trim.
We can't do it with the bare minimum. We need a squad, we're not in any doubt the ability of the team. Lads not going to at this stage of that kind of competition.
You need to
have any experience, but like, they should have
exactly
3 years into this. They should have
and a half time.
The runs we've had in Leinster, silly decision making.
You have the bags of experience now. We should be able to go at this level.
And Craig was
brilliant goal, Craig. Craig was excellent today.
I would have rather let him have that.
Yeah, he gave away the third goal. Was silly reaction by Skinner, but.
The second one, the penalty.
He should have cleared his lines.
Thanks for the cleared lines there. Yeah,
obviously, second length. You know, you've been knocking on the door in Leinster now.
Yeah,
time to push on. He was excellent in the shootout. To a lot of those.
Brilliant penalty. It was in the stand. It was brilliant corner. Like, so, you can't ask for more.
Again, it's been probably expected
for the Sherry's
and not doing the work for it.
Whereas now, even with lads off the field,
we're working hard.
More he plays,
more soccer he plays. So,
down to eight men, and we worked so hard today to get the win.
But was capable of winning the competition.
And you obviously turn your attention now domestically.
Yeah, we are. But like you said, we have been knocking on the door.
Start the big 10 days.
Get that door in.
Parkville midweek. And what's been stopping you? Then you've cup game against Hanover on the weekend.
Parkville.
I'm not too sure because, like I say, all the football is there.
It's going to be a tough game.
Maybe it's a really tough game.
Lads not used to being in the stage of that kind of competition
out there
and not having the experience. But like, they should have it now. 3 years into this,
like I say, we have all the ability. So it's about
the runs we've had in Leinster
again.
To have 5 or 6 rounds to get to this stage,
should be done a 3-year run.
Well capable of taking those
games.
To
have the bags experience
now, we should be able to go on to beat at this level.
And Craig was brilliant today for a lot of it, apart from that one little
pick on just the pressure of knowing you can't slip up.
He gave away like the third goal.
Give less more motivation. Does that kind of give it, make it more?
Was it the third one?
The second one, the penalty.
Or is it, you know, where is one that
they kind
of had the pressure of, okay, we only need a draw here, we can get away with something.
Personally, I would rather credit to him play.
He was excellent in the shootout as well. He was getting to a lot of.
If you look back at the pass, and he took
a brilliant penalty. It was in the stanchion, like the defensive corner, like, so we can handle more from Craig.
He's been a stalwart for us this year. He's
so much top top goalkeeper at GAA level.
But finally, you can see
whereas now we can't do more much celebrating because we haven't played one yet.
So we are going to be
different sport.
We are going to have to be super clued in. Come on, leaps and bounds for
part. And you obviously turn your attention now domestically, and you've a big 10 days. Obviously, this was the start of a big 10 days. You've Parkville midweek. Then you've cup game against Hanover on the weekend. Same for the following weekend.
Same for the following weekend.
Both tough games.
So it's going to be a tough game. They always give it a
good side.
Couldn't be ending it any harder. Like
Brian out there.
Yeah, I give both teams full respect. Or good sides.
Like I said, we have all the ability. So it's about going and playing.
You must be proud kind of the way that the team has kind of bounced back this year a lot. Like last year, you were kind of steamrolling past teams. This year, you're having to come from behind. Having to come from behind.
She was on the other foot.
Get those late draw. Get those late win. Just the pressure of knowing you can't slip up. Does that heighten? Give us more motivation. Does that kind of give it? Make it mean more? Or is it, you know, whereas if you kind of had the pressure of, okay, we only need a draw here, we can get away with something.
If you look back at last finished that game, but
I just think
we had won the league.
What we're capable of doing,
and so we probably
shouldn't be in any bother. But
a lot of times, the last game for final, whereas now it's the chance to start
too much celebrating because we haven't actually won yet in a battle.
So we are going to be, we are going to have to be super clued in Wednesday for part. Otherwise, the standard
cannot let
the standard drop. Like,
yeah, well, losing Cody,
but just like Jamie and we have to and Keane, chipping in.
Annoying.
They've scored a lot of goals.
Same for the following week. Going past both
it is what it is.
Games.
Players well capable of stepping in and taking chances when we get them.
Josh is banding it a little harder, like so.
Goal scoring himself.
Yeah, I give both teams full respect or good sides. Like,
have you any idea of who you want in the draw Wednesday night? You must be proud of the way that the team has kind of bounced back.
I really haven't even thought about that.
Last year you were kind of steamrolling past teams.
Love a home draw, obviously.
Actually,
I wanted to say that you
having to come from
Twitter post yet another home draw.
I did want to clarify that.
First being
FAI Junior Cup game was away to North End.
First
Leinster Senior game was away to Clara.
Our
first three rounds of Leinster Junior were away. So we're only starting to get home draws. Don't put the buck on. Sorry.
We had two men sent off.
The home draws have to keep coming.
We need one in the semi final through, and we give an equal place away.
And obviously, every game from here on in, you know, there's no, you know, it's cup games. And the league, the two games of the league
I just think
you know, what we're capable of playing.
Look at it's all we
almost
be in any butter, but
almost win. But that's where you want to be in this season. Like every team
waste the chances to start in July,
but eventually it became a battle because they were
be told that they started
at the start of this season because it's a long season. Two games to win it.
Yeah, well, losing quality,
but you like Jamie and
your phone draws and Carlo chipping in.
No, I understand.
Just scored a lot of goals
as the Sherry coach and a team. You know what I mean? So like,
it is what it is. We have
players well capable of stepping in and taking chances when we get them.
Yeah,
Josh is back now as well. So
Hanover, Hanover at home,
which won't be easy. It's always local game, never easy.
Have you any idea of who you want in the draw Wednesday night?
Home draw. That's it.
I really haven't even thought about that. I don't mind.
And in the other cup,
love a home draw, obviously easy.
But yeah, actually, I wanted to say that I seen your Twitter post about yet another home draw for New York.
I did want to clarify that our first FAI Junior Cup game was away to North End. Our first Leinster Senior game was away to Clara.
Yeah.
Our first three rounds of Leinster Junior were away. So we're only starting to get home draws now. Don't put the buck on us, sorry. The home draws have to keep coming. We need one in the semi-final, hopefully.
And obviously every game from here on in is must win. You can't, you know, there's no, you know, it's cup games. And the league, the two games of the league are effectively cup games, you know.
Yeah, look at it. It's almost win now. It's almost win. But this is where you want to be in this season. Like every team, you start in July and
if you were to be told at the start of this season, because it's a long season, that you have two games at home to, or two games in the league to win it, you're going to want that. You're going to be in the Leinster Junior semi-final. You have home draws in the Carlow Cup. Like, this is where you want to be as a coach and a team, you know what I mean? So like, we have to look forward to these things.
And in the Cups, you've got tough draws as well.
Yeah,
look, rough end of the draw.
Hanover at home, which won't be easy. It's always local game, never easy game. Then we have, I think, the winner of Crete and Pats, isn't it?
I think Dolman first, and then the winner of Crete.
Yeah, so look, we're not.
And
getting
in the other cup, it's Crete.
We're not getting anything easy, but I wouldn't expect it at this stage of the season.
Yeah, that was quite an interesting interview, actually. The big thing I picked up on there was what he said about discipline. That has been a big issue recently. They had two guys sent off against Bagnallstown, albeit by all accounts, Roy Burns' suspension was harsh, and the incident seemed accidental. And then three red cards on Sunday. Oh, it's crazy. If they want to win a domestic treble or a Leinster trophy, they have to keep their discipline. They have to keep their discipline. They have to keep their heads, or because it's going to put a strain on the players with so many of the big players gone. You know, like, they're facing a Leinster semi-final without their two centre-backs. Without their two first-choice centre-backs and one of their strongest attackers. They're missing Lee Walker for the Parkville game tomorrow night, tonight, even Wednesday. And the Carlow Cup game against Hanover on the weekend. So they're in a bit of trouble, really. Anyway, moving on. I did promise you earlier on that we would preview the Paul Cohen Memorial Youths Cup this weekend. That's taking place this weekend. And joining me now, I have the St. Pat's manager, Paul White. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Harry. Appreciate that.
Paul,
thanks very much.
Paul, how are you feeling about a cup final? How's the mood around the camp? Are the lads looking forward to it?
Great excitement, to be honest with you. It's great to see a club like St. Pat's reach the final. You know, we've got great players there. It's just about the talent. The talent around the area is fantastic. And for the two teams in general, two great Cullen teams reaching the final is probably a really, really just shows the amount of talent in that area, which is fantastic for the clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. You've kind of had the easier route to the final as such. You've kind of avoided a lot of the big guns along the way.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it was an easy task, the easier side of things. But look, you have to beat what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And obviously we played away in all our cup games, in all the qualifying rounds. So being playing on grass is a little bit more difficult sometimes when you're used to your AstroTurf. But look, the lads dug in deep and they done very well in those rounds. So we got there in the end.
Yeah. It's been a decent season for you guys. You finished fourth in the league. You must be fairly happy with how it's gone.
Yeah, we finished fourth in the league, which is great. We could have been challenging a little bit more. You drop a few points here and there and before you know it, you're probably down in the runnings. But look, there's always, it's a stepping stone for the lads under 18s into youths to go into the senior league and into the men's league next year, which sets a stepping stone really for them to go in there. And some of the lads have actually gone into the first team already from the youths and have got game time with the senior men. So it's really impressive to see them to do that, to step up, you know.
Yeah. Do you see yourselves as underdogs?
I think it's an even. There's not much between the teams, to be fair, Harry. I feel we've played them twice already. We've drew once, and we were beaten the second time round. But look, I feel that, you know, there's nothing between us, and it's a cup game. Anything can happen. So it's a one shot game. So you never know. We've a great chance, to be fair. You know, if we play very well and stick to what we know, we'll have a good chance.
Yeah.
You know.
And of course, the cup final is at home. Feix requested for it to be in the Meadows and Greg Collins. That must be a big plus.
Yeah, it's a plus. As I said, look, but Feix are a strong team too. They can play on grass and play on Astro. So, as I said, it's a great plus to have it at home. It'd be nice to win it at home. Put it that way to you, Harry. It'll be a bit of icing on the cake for the lads that deserve a bit of silverware for the season. I think, you know, after the long season they had, they did a very good season. So, and they're very dedicated to the club. They've been there. A lot of the players have been there since for 9 or 10 years since they're being babies. You know.
Yeah,
from 8 or 9 years of age and right up through. So it'd be nice to get a bit of silverware and put on the trophy cabinet in the Pat's office there, you know. So,
yeah. But of course, you haven't beaten Phoenix this season either, which is a bit of a...
No, we haven't beaten Phoenix this season. But as I said, the two games that we had, they were very close games. Look, why not? Why can't we beat them? You know, that's the way I see it. The lads are good enough to do that on the day. It's about the day, how everybody turns up. Did it turn up in the right frame of mind, right manner? You know, game plan, stick to the game plan that we have, and you never know.
Yeah. Who are the key guys to watch out for in the St. Pat's side? I know, who are the big superstars in the team? I know Jan Flesher is your top scorer in the league, and he's broken into the A-team this season, of course. He's been a big player, but who are the others to watch out for?
Yeah, we have a couple of lads there coming through really well, have played really well in the season. You know, we have a good guy there, Brian Santos, up front. Very impressive young lad. He plays under 16s. He plays with us as well. And he's a talent. He's going to be a talent in later years to come. As I said, he is already breaking through to us. He plays for the 16s, and he's scoring goals every week. So he's quite good. He's quite good. He's quite fast, and I think he'd be a threat. And we've got also obviously my son Alfie plays on the left wing, which is he's a talent in himself. He's quick. He's good with the ball. He's fast pace. And yeah, he's a good winger. So we've got a couple of lads there, and we also have a new guy joined. He used to be a goalkeeper and went into the middle of the pitch, and he's a great shot on him. So Bobby Jordan is his name, and he's one to watch. You know,
yeah.
if he gets the space, he put it away very easily.
Yeah,
you know, so that's the kind of the way we have it. Our back line is superb. Are probably the strongest back line we have. I feel they're the strongest back line in Carlow. We've got Alex Downs there in centre half. We've got Mauro Perez centre half. So two good back lines. Four lads at the back there, really strong. Our midfield speaks for itself. We've got Jan there in midfield, and we've got Oisin Daly there in midfield as well. So quite strong presence there.
Yeah. The success of these young lads can only be good for the future of the club. There's so many young guys in the senior team in St. Pat's and the A team. So if you can get some of these young guys to integrate into that A team next year, there's a real kind of atmosphere of optimism around St. Pat's, even more so than there already is.
Yeah. Well, St. Pat's itself is a well-established club in Greg Cullen, and it'd be great for these young lads. As I said, the youths is a stepping stone, as I said before, is a stepping stone for these lads to progress into the A team or the B team or whatever. And then if they want to go further on in their own career, and there's a lot of lads on our team that can do that, you know. If they really want to put their mind to it, they'd be well able to do that, you know. And I think Pat's is really a great stepping stone. The facility speaks for itself. It's a great facility, you know, and it's even getting stronger and stronger, you know. The club itself only want the best for the players, and the coaches are, you know, and learning every day. So, so it's a great atmosphere, I think, around the club, and there always has been. I'm with the club nearly 9 years now, and it's been fantastic, really fantastic 9 years with St. Pat's. So I think, you know, going forward, I think the club is on the right track. All the jobs are getting done around, the facilities are getting better.
Yeah.
And it can only bring in more people, you know, more kids, and bring them up to that level, you know, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what you want, really.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
And I know they're redoing the dressing rooms as well, I believe, are they?
They're doing the dressing rooms there now at the moment. So there's going to be a shower dressing rooms, a unit for the girls, a dressing rooms for the girls as well. So obviously girls football has taken off in the last few years. So that's really positive stuff. A lot of girls from St. Pat's have moved into League of Ireland football teams, which is fantastic to see. Even one of our own plays for Ireland under 18s or 19s now. So yeah, things like that that can progress into that kind of into that level from club football is absolutely amazing, you know.
Yeah, and it'll bring more League of Ireland football to St. Pat's as well because it's fairly central.
Yeah, I think so because at the moment, anyway, the club is an attraction for a lot of League of Ireland teams as it is. So when the facilities get, you know, the grass pitches there are finished and they're ready to go, we have the AstroTurf there. You know, there's no looking back. Basically, you know, it's all forward from here. You know.
Yeah, and I know Clonmullion also used the pitch for their home games as well in Leinster.
Yeah.
How important is it for people to get down and watch on Saturday? A lot of the time people might see that it's youth football, they're kids, it won't be that exciting. How important is it to counteract that and get people down to watch, especially with it being a parish derby?
Yeah, it's very, very important. You know, I think, you know, the support behind the kids are very, very important, you know, from all parents and from the club members as well and the senior football team. You know, from the senior lads, it'd be a great, great thing for the lads to see some of the senior players down there watching them, cheering them on, getting behind the team. You know, there's always that 12th man, as they say. Yeah. You know, the crowd behind you. You're at home. If you have enough people to help you through it, you never know what'll happen at the end of the game. But it is very important, and it will boost the lads if they get great support. And I think it's very important that people get down to support their local team, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks very much, Paul, for joining me. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Harry, for having me. Really appreciate that.
Thanks, Paul. That was Paul White there, the St. Pat's manager ahead of the Paul Kerwin Memorial Youth Cup final this Saturday. We've had the St. Pat's side. Now it's time to get the St. Fiacs view on this weekend's Paul Kerwin Memorial Youth Cup. And joining me now, I have Jamie Lawler, the St. Fiacs manager or coach. I'm not quite sure what you are, Jamie.
Coach Harry, I suppose. Coach. Yeah, it's myself and Usheen involved, and two of us kind of just 50-50 at it there. I suppose before we get into the finer details, I'd like to mention Usheen there. He's coaching this group of players a couple of years now and put huge time and effort into them, and I suppose reaping the rewards of it this year, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. How are you feeling about the cup final? How's the mood around the camp? Are the lads looking forward to it?
Feeling good, Harry, yeah. Self and Usheen really looking forward to it. You're going head to head with your local rivalries for a bit of silverware is a big occasion. The lads themselves are buzzing. They're carrying great momentum, as you know, probably after having a difficult enough cup run and whatever, but I think they just want to fast forward now to Saturday at this stage and get going.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it there, you've had the toughest route to the final, really. You've had to beat Burren and Hanover, albeit on penalties. No easy feat, especially given Hanover were in a LFA Youth Cup semi-final this weekend. That must fill you with some kind of confidence.
Yeah, tough draw, Harry. Really tough when we saw it. We were just like, wow. Because we're after going through a tough couple of games there at the end of the league. But look, we played Burn away in the quarterfinal. We hadn't played a game in a couple of weeks before the quarterfinal. And I think it probably did impact us. We didn't get going really at all that day out in Burn. And to be honest, we fell over the line in extra time. Aidan Bradley got a winner for us, but we probably got out of jail there with that one, I'd say, big time. And then we had a good battle last Wednesday in the Plots with Hanover. Like you said, they're in an LFA, well, they were in an LFA semi-final at the weekend. And I suppose that tells you everything you need to know about them. They deserve a lot of credit, and after having a great run and pushed us very close in the league, we drew twice with Hanover in the league and got over the line last week in the Plots in a shootout, so couldn't be separated on three occasions, really, so there's not much of the difference between us.
Absolutely. And it's been a pretty decent season for you guys so far. You won the league and you won it fairly comfortably at that, losing just one game all season. You must be pretty happy with how the season's gone.
Yeah, happy Harry, of course, yeah. Lost one game away to Bagnallstown. It was before Christmas anyway. I think we lost 3-1 to Bagnallstown. Probably maybe a slight shock, but tough place to go and just didn't get going or whatever that day. But I suppose I don't know if we won it too comfortably. Came down to the last three games. We needed 7 points. We played Burn at home, Hanover at home, and Joy's at home. We had three home games at the end, probably, which was probably a slight advantage. But thrilled with it overall, Harry, you know what I mean? Myself and Usheen couldn't be any happier with the lads. We have a panel there of about 20 lads, and literally every single one of them give you 100%. There wouldn't be any night there where you wouldn't have less than 16 or 17 up in the field training, which is great, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a local derby too, of course. How do you feel about that? Does it add extra spice or extra competition and motivation, or is it just another game?
Of course, good question. But I think it's personally good to see two close teams going at it, you know what I mean? We will prepare, though, as just another game, you know what I mean? We won't probably focus on St. Pat's too much. I do say to the lads, if we don't prepare ourselves and get ourselves right mentally and whatever, we won't be able to worry about them yet, you know what I mean? But it does add a little bit of extra bite to it, and I suppose especially for the lads, you know, they're playing against good friends there and whatever. So I suppose, as you know, it's always nice to get one up on each other, I suppose, in that situation.
Yeah, of course. I was told actually by Wayne Murphy over the weekend that you guys actually requested for the final to be Impats on Saturday. What's the thinking behind that?
You don't miss much, Harry. A few people said that to me, I suppose. Yeah, and one or two people said, oh, that's a bold move, or what's the thinking behind it? And to be honest, there's nothing behind it other than just literally getting, I suppose, the parish together for what should be a great occasion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we just thought it might make it a little bit special for both sets of players, not just their own players. They'll have their friends and family in walking distance of St. Pat's, you know what I mean? I don't personally, myself and Usheen didn't really feel there was a disadvantage to playing in Pat's, like, yeah, or whether you go to the Astro and Burn or Collession, and just thought it just gives the lads a great day out, you know what I mean? That was our thinking behind it. And look, if it goes against us, to be honest, there probably won't be any regrets now from our side.
Yeah, of course. I don't know, it makes sense, to be fair. Local derby, there's no reason why you shouldn't play it there, to be fair.
Absolutely, Harry. You know what I mean? They're playing football years with each other and against each other, you know what I mean? And it'd be a great way for them kind of to sign off with a Youth Cup final right in their local area.
Yeah. To be fair, I know the new pitch will be in Greg Cullen as well. We'll get to that later. But, I mean, there's no reason why you guys probably couldn't use St. Pat's and do a deal with them. It would make more sense to play the home games there, if possible, rather than going all the way down to Loughlin Bridge, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that now, Harry, to be honest, because, to be honest, I literally come in this year as a coach, and
yeah.
I haven't really got involved in them kind of details with the club, you know what I mean? Bits and pieces maybe, but I don't know, whatever agreement they had with Vale was working out, and Vale always catered for us really well, and I suppose a special thanks to them, because it's not easy, because Vale have a lot of teams going there, juvenile and two senior teams and whatever, you know, so
yeah, exactly.
But I'm not sure about if Pat's be an option or that, Harry, now, to be honest.
It's an issue for the higher ups to deal with. I'm sure there's a reason for it anyway.
I'm not
here to criticise anybody or anything. Who are the key guys to watch out for on Saturday? Who are the main superstars in the St. Felix team? I know Roland Sarni is your top scorer in the league. Who else should we be watching out for?
Yeah, Roland's top scorer for us, Harry, and I think he 20 plus goals, maybe.
21.
And 21, is it?
I think so, yeah.
And he's actually missed a good few games, Harry, in the league, especially at the start, because he plays basketball at quite a high level. So he's missed a couple of games and still well up there. Top class striker, Harry, to be honest. I don't think you'll find a striker in the league, to be honest, as good as him. Speed, strength, finishing, has it all, really. But unfortunately, hopefully he's okay, but he is struggling with a hamstring injury at the moment. We're training tonight and he won't be there, but we're hopeful, very hopeful, that he will be there on Thursday. We'll be training again. He'll be okay then for Saturday. And I suppose you said to me there, who's the other guys, did you?
Yeah.
don't know if I don't like singling out many lads in particular, but Aidan Bradley's captain there, he's centre half. I think he's the best centre half in the league, to be honest. And there's loads of good ones, but he's so, so calm on the ball. Unbelievable reader of the game. Just a, and I said to you earlier on, he got us out of jail and burned Celtic in the quarterfinal. He's just a leader. I'm sure you know Jaden Kelly, Dino's brother.
Of course, the Kelly name is synonymous in Carlo, of course.
Yeah, an unbelievable footballer is Jay. To be honest, Harry, you won't see another chap in Carlo with an attitude like Jay. His commitment is just unbelievable. We won the league on a Saturday and against Joy's, and we took the Tuesday off, and he was in the Talbot at 6:30 on the Tuesday morning because we weren't training that evening, you know what I mean? It's just his dedication and his attitude is just second to none. If I had to mention one or two more for you, maybe Joe Salvador Jam, better known as, he's probably one of the best players in the league since he's under 12, represented the academy, played League of Ireland. Dan Corcoran, I suppose, he deserves a mention. He's the only player in our squad, actually, Dan. He's actually, after starting every single game for us this year, when the chips are down, I suppose, Harry, you know when you turn to one person?
Yeah.
We turned to kind of Dan to drag us out of that, out of a tough situation. But look, it's very unfortunate. I'd say there's maybe a 5% chance he'll play Saturday, if even. He came off with a serious knee injury against Hanover, and he's actually getting it assessed tonight by a physio, but it's not looking good now at the moment for Saturday for him at all. So it's a big pity for him, and great lad who gave us a lot throughout the year.
Big loss then.
Yeah, big loss, Harry. Big character, you know what I mean? Kind of a bit of a leader there, and he'll get stuck in, and he'll, when you're knowing you're having a bad spell in a game, Dan kind of, he's the always one to win a big tackle or whatever, so he will, he'll be a big loss. But look, like I said, we've 20 lads, they're all training all year, so it'd be no problem to get someone in there to do a job.
Absolutely. The success of St. Felix can only be good for the future, right? There's already so much youth in the senior team. If you can get some of these young guys now that are in the youth team to integrate into that first team next season and find their feet, you'd be quite optimistic that you can really challenge for promotion to the Premier next season.
Yeah, actually thinking about it a little bit there in the last month or two, and absolutely, Harry, you know, winning the Youth League, and please God, we might add a cup to it on Saturday, but you can see the spirits around the club nearly lifted already from winning the league, you know what I mean? And as you mentioned there, like, the youth in the senior squad already, like, you look and you're familiar with the lads, Jack Byrne, John O'Shea, Aaron Dorgan, Jay Cockney, and you add in the experience of the likes of Bobby Dowland, and we've guys there that have played senior already this year, Lucas O'Neill, Conor Dunn, a few more. You put a mix of all that together and it's a really, really good young team. I think they'll be very, very hopeful of reaching the Premier now next season, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've also been told that there's a B team coming for St. Felix next season, so I guess there'll be plenty of opportunities for guys to play senior football, and that's got to be super important in terms of keeping guys in the club.
Yeah, as far as I know, Harry, anyway, like I said to you there now, I came in as a coach, so I'm not kind of fully 100% on the finer details, but I definitely know a B team is on the cards. In my opinion, like, if you look at the teams at the top of the Premier there at the moment in Carlow, like, New York are absolutely unbelievable. They have a good B team. Vale have a B team, if I'm right, don't they? They're winning the league at the moment.
Yeah, they won the Division 2 league.
They won their league. Like, Pat's with a good B team there as well, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, I think a good B team, or not a solid B team, is key to success in a club, you know what I mean? Like, we've plenty of lads, like I said, they're 20 lads come playing youth football. You don't want to turn them away because there's no numbers available in the senior team or whatever. You want to have a pass for them to go into senior football and keep them lads involved, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'd say there'll be definitely a B team, Harry, and hopefully it'll work out.
How important is it for people to get down and watch on Saturday? I know a lot of the time people might see youth football and just think, oh, they're kids, it's not going to be that entertaining, it's not going to be very good, won't be exciting to watch. How important is it to counteract that and get people down to watch, especially with it being in Parish Derby?
Yeah, good question, Harry, I suppose. Very good question. But at first, I'd say, Harry, that to kind of show a bit of respect to what both sets of teams have put into it, you know what I mean? Huge time, dedication, and I think they deserve to play in front of a great crowd. And that, like I said to you already, that's our thinking of playing it in St. Pat's, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think, like, you'll see great talent on display, you know what I mean? You'll see lads there that are excelling at senior football. Even I've mentioned enough of the Phoenix lads already, but like I haven't tracked them too much, but I teach Jan Flazer there in the CBS. Yeah. And what an absolute gentleman, and he's really excelling there. But he really seems to be a regular for Pat Seniors. Harry, you know more than me there.
Yeah, no, he's broken in and he's been a real big star, especially with the amount of injuries St. Pat's have had. He's come in and done a real good job. He's got a few goals as well.
Yeah, he's a like fantastic kid, and I know you've Seb Miller there. He's another CBS man as well, and whatever. And then you have the number of lads I mentioned from Phoenix. But like, I think all these lads, they deserve to have a good crowd on Saturday, Harry, and just enjoy the occasion. You know what I mean? Whatever happens.
Absolutely. And tell me a little bit about the state of the club in general at the moment in St. Phoenix. I know there's a lot of positive things going on right now, like there's a new pitch being developed and. It's all good. It's all good things in St. Felix right now, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it seems to be on the up, Harry. There's very good vibes, like I said. From what I see off the pitch, they're putting in absolutely huge work. Like you said there already, you already mentioned the new pitch and the developments of that. And you probably see it on social media there, the fundraising that they're doing, recently had a race night, etc. But like, it's only when you get involved inside the club, you see what the work that people are doing, just even Peter Nolan there, Donna Byrne, who gives up so much of her time, Wayne Murphy. There's so many more people to add to that list, as you know. But like, they've all one aim, and all I can sense of them is that they want the club to really progress. So it's great to see, you know what I mean? On the pitch, like you said, seniors fell short, a good Burn team in the league, and hopefully push on next year and get to the Premier. And one of the most impressive things since I arrived in, Harry, I'd say, is the success of the girls' teams. I'm sure you're familiar with all that.
Absolutely.
Huge numbers involved in training. You'd see it on the social media there, the pictures of the teams up, and great system, great volunteers, coaching, helping out. I think the under-13s Wonder League, you can correct me on any of this now, Harry, the under-14s are in the mix, and they got to the last 16 of the SFAI and are in the regional finals as well. And I think the 16s are banged there as well, competing for the league. So all teams have either won or are competing for a league, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really positive.
Just before I let you go, Jamie, I know you mentioned there you're a teacher in the CBS. You would have, of course, taught Peter Grogan and coached him in the soccer in CBS. I think his mum actually told me at one point when he got onto the Irish school scene that you were the one that put him forward for that. You must be quite proud to see his progress. I know he got his second goal in two games last week for Bray, and he's got a few starts now under his belt. He's kind of he's finding his feet now. You must be quite proud to see how he's gone on and developed.
Absolutely, Harry. Brilliant. I listened to your podcast last week with him. He's an absolute gent, isn't he?
Yeah, he's absolutely lovely.
So humble, so down to earth, I suppose. Oh, we had a school team, Harry, and huge, huge talent on it. Peter Grogan, you'd know all the lads, to be honest. Yeah. Scott Raycroft, Luke Murphy. The list is endless, to be honest, of good players. But Peter was with both at the time, and there was a general email sent out to schools from the FAI, and it goes to every school, and I received it, and it was about the Irish schools, and I kind of spoke to Peter because he was very busy at the time. He was very dedicated to his studies here in the school. He was travelling up to play with Bose, and we kind of had a chat, and would it be kind of feasible in terms of time? And he said he'd give it a go. So he went from each trial to trial, Harry, and sure, he continued to progress past each trial, which are, you'd have to drag it out of him, Harry, to see if he got to the next stage. He's so humble, you know what I mean? Yeah. He'd be too shy or whatever to come and tell you that he's after passing. He wouldn't like to think that he's gloating, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But sure, he ended up, Harry, I think he mentioned it to you last week on the podcast, from what I remember. He captained that team then and against England.
Yeah.
So which is a huge achievement. I think he said himself last week there on the podcast is something that that will stay with him forever, you know what I mean? And as you said, he's in my brain now, and there's probably not too many 19-year-olds, Harry, leading the line playing as a striker in the League of Ireland at the moment.
Exactly.
And I do be keeping track of him there now, and I see he's after getting, he was starting from the bench there to start, and I presume he was having a big impact because he seems to be back in starting now. So I hope he pushes on. I'll actually planning on getting to go see him now in a game when our season is over. So after Saturday now, I'll make plans to go and see a game that he's in.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much, Jamie, for joining me. Really appreciate your time, especially because I know you've been under pressure there for time. So thanks a million for joining me. Really appreciate it.
No problem, Harry. Thanks for having us on. Thank you.
That was Jamie Lawler there, the St. Felix coach, talking ahead of the Paul Cowan Memorial Youth Cup final this weekend between St. Felix and St. Pat's, a local derby, of course, in Great Cullen. And that is all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for listening. I just want to say thanks again for all the positive comments. I do appreciate it a lot. Again, if there's anything you think I should talk about or discuss, let me know, because this is as much about you as it is me, and I want to cover the issues that are important to you. I'll be back next week, where I hopefully will have more information on what's happening in regards to relegation from the Carlow League from the Nationalist Premier Division, and we can discuss it and go into detail on that a little bit. We'll have all the fallout from New York versus Parkville on Wednesday. If somehow Parkville managed to sneak a result, we'll have all the reaction from Crate Yard. The LFA Junior Cup draw actually is being made this Thursday in Carlow in the Seven Oaks Hotel on Thursday night. So I will be there with all the reaction to the draw. We have New Oak, we have Rock Celtic, we have Lucan, and we have Wexford Bows. So I'll be there getting lots of reaction and stuff from that. I will be hoping to get some reaction from the Youth Cup Final 2, and I will be hoping to preview the Division 1 Cup Final, which takes place the week after. I do want to try and, over the next few weeks, coming into the end of the season, put together something where we are going to detail a little bit on how we can improve the Carlow League, how we can improve the standard of football, how we can improve the game locally for people. For the clubs. Like, this isn't going to be a shit on the Carlow League segment. It's not going to be, oh yeah, the league is shit, the league are doing bad things. It's literally just going to be, how can we improve the game locally? So I want suggestions from people. If you're willing to come on and talk about your ideas, then absolutely message me. Let me know your ideas beforehand so I can approve them to make sure they're okay. Yeah, so let me know if you have any ideas. Like, I know I was on the phone with someone about a couple of weeks ago, I think, at this point. And they were talking basically about kind of having maybe more midweek matches throughout the season rather than kind of having all the midweek matches to the back end of the season, which puts pressure on teams. Maybe kind of have more of those during the season to kind of get through games. Linesmen, actually, that's a big thing that's kind of been talked about for a long time by a lot of people, kind of having linesmen for Premier games. You know, these kind of things. Want to help improve the game locally. How can we do that? That's what I am interested in hearing from and about. Anyway, thanks a million to Robbie and Shane for all their help getting this out. I really need a catchphrase for how to end this, but for now I will just say thanks again for listening, and I'll talk to you all next week.
The Carlow Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos, brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.